When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Vinny and Haiti, put your headphones in and ignore your coworkers. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Total request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Evil Woman. ELO, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Also, start getting your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. 410-583-1057. Applause for text lines. How you join us here on the radio show as well. Bob Hitty, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Ravens Steelers, 4:30 Saturday. Ravens 6.5-point favorites. First place on the line.
Yep.
Steelers could win the division. Ravens could tie. Ravens could still get a playoff spot, even if a loss happens. But, you know, we'll get into those scenarios later on in the program. But joining us now to preview this thing, it's from the Baltimore Sun. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Brian Wacker. And, Brian, first of all, thank you. Good morning. Appreciate your time, as always. And, look, the hyperbole for this game, you know, it is what it is. Only thing he needs, Howard Cosell and Don King building that up. Like it was some fight from the 70s, early 80s. But we heard Zach Gore talking about penalties. And Vinny was looking this up off the air because I told him Bill Vinovich is the referee. And apparently they throw a lot of flags
there.
Yes,
they do. Especially, a lot of PIs.
Yeah, and the Ravens are pretty much penalized a lot defensively. And I know Zach Gore says, hey, we got to stop doing that. Duh. But what do you think here? More than terrible towels flying around M&T starting at 4:30? Saturday.
Well, good morning, guys. Thanks for bringing all that positivity right off the bat. But you're right. This is the most penalized team in the NFL. And it's not, you know, it's been consistent. I mean, it's been this way the whole year. And you can go back to last time these two teams played. It was a killer. They had a dozen penalties, I think around 80 penalty yards, but 12 penalties, a lot of them really, you know, costly at times. You even go back to last week's Giants game. I mean, they're basically playing against the JV team last week in New York. And, you know, the defense still gets flagged 8 times. It's just, you know, it's been a killer this year. And all the guys have talked about it, whether on the offensive side of the ball, you know, setting them off schedule, having to start 1st and 15, 1st and 20, second and long, those sorts of things. Or in the case of the Giants game, you look at that, you know, they had 4 penalties, I think, on one drive that essentially led to a Giants touchdown. And you know, that's a problem.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it, Brian. I mean, last time they played the Steelers, you know, I mean, they had 6 in each half, so they were even in each half. But you know what? If I – Harbs and I looked at that film, you know, of the last game, I feel pretty good because I thought the defense, you know, played really good, you know, because the defense played good and you had Travis Jones on one leg and no Michael Pierce and they still shut down the run game. And you had Simpson, who played 66 snaps, who's not even playing anymore. And you had Roquan, who missed the fourth quarter.
100%. Look, you look at the numbers from that game. Steelers only had 303 yards total offense. Ravens actually outgained them in that game. Obviously, Steelers didn't get in the end zone. You know, they ran the ball okay, 120 yards or so, but, you know, only about 4 yards a play. And the Ravens, averaged over 6 yards a play in that game. So it's not like they weren't able to move the ball. It's not like Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt teed off on Lamar Jackson. You know, the Ravens basically shot themselves in the foot. All those penalty yards, obviously two missed kicks by Justin Tucker. You know, the receivers came up, you know, pretty small in that game. They weren't able to create a lot of separation against that Pittsburgh secondary. If memory is correct, I think Zay Flowers only had two catches in that game, had a big drop. Mark Andrews, I think, also only had two catches. You know, Lamar was maybe a little more hesitant to run than he had been in the past. You know, so there were a lot of things, in other words, that sort of stacked up. And at the end of it, you know, the Ravens still had a chance to tie the game at the end with a two-point conversion. So, you know, to me, I think there is a reason for confidence. And a big part of that, of course, will be playing at home. I think that'll make a difference. And some of the changes that the Ravens have made, you know, Trenton Simpson out of the lineup, now they're rotating in with Malik Harris and Chris Board, and they really sort of shored up the middle of the field with those two. We've, of course, seen some changes on the back end. Kyle Hamilton playing further back. We saw this was actually the game, guys, if you remember, where they made a change at safety, and they ultimately jettisoned Eddie Jackson, started Ardarius Washington over Marcus Williams, and that's the formula they've gone with since, and it's worked out. So there's a lot that's different, I think, about this Ravens team than it was the last time these two teams met. That said, you know, look, when these two teams get together, it's going to be a close, physical, tough game that's probably going to come down to, you know, a few points.
To be real about it, I didn't think Lamar played very good at all. You know, I mean, he was 8-18 the first half and 16 of 33. I thought he missed a lot of reads. I thought, you know, he didn't throw the ball extremely well. So if he just plays his normal game, I feel really, really confident going into Saturday.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, again, you know, guys have to separate. They've got to get away from, you know, guys like Joey Porter Jr. And those Pittsburgh corners and make catches and make plays. And Lamar has to be sharp. Lamar, you know, three turnovers in that game. One of them was an interception by Lamar. You know, so those are things. Generally, he has played well this season. He's played clean. But whatever it is, you know, this Pittsburgh team has had his number, as we've talked about, you know, over the years now. Pittsburgh winning 8 of those 9. Obviously, Lamar didn't play in all those games. But, you know, this is a team that has baffled him. But I do think, you know, Pittsburgh coming off of that short week, a tough physical loss to Philadelphia. You've got T.J. Watt a little banged up. Doesn't seem like they're going to maybe have Pickens. So that takes away from their offense a bit. So you have to think that Lamar would play better than he did last time. Because to your point, he couldn't play it a whole lot worse.
Yeah. And I think what they'll do, I think they'll use Lamar a lot more in the run game Saturday. Because those ends crashed down hard. And then the last time they played, Lamar had two nice runs. And that was the only two times, you know, they ran it. So I think get Lamar involved in the run game early, get him lathered up a little bit, and then let him start throwing, and then throw play-action pass on first down because that's when he hit likely, you know, and stuff down the field.
Yeah, and look, Derrick Henry, I mean, this is a guy that averaged, I think, 5 yards or thereabouts a carry the last time these two teams played, only carried it maybe 12 or 13 times in that game. Again, you put Lamar in those RPO situations, get him running, get Derrick Henry going, get the play action passing going. And I think you can expect to see a lot of that early in this game because, as we've seen, this is a team that when they start fast, they generally play well.
We got the Ravens Steelers coming up Saturday, 4:30 kickoff. First place on the line, Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun. Brian Wacker, when we're talking next with you, and it might be after Christmas, so Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and your family. First place in the AFC North will belong to who, given the schedules of both teams?
I am going to go Baltimore Ravens here. You know, if you'd asked me this question a week or two ago, I probably would have said Pittsburgh. I would have really liked the Steelers' chances in this game, but I think, you know, they come in a little banged up off a short week. trending the wrong direction. Ravens trending kind of the right direction. I see this as an opportunity for Baltimore, really, to run the table. They've got that Christmas game in Houston, a Houston team that hasn't looked great. Plenty of talent on that team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Guys like Will Anderson, but you know, this just has the feeling of this team starting to get right, starting to find their footing. Now, I will say this is all predicated on them being healthy, right? Because we saw a couple of guys pop up on the injury report, Rashad Bateman, Daniel Falele, Justice Hill missed a day. It sounded like a personal reason, so I don't think there's anything to worry about with him health-wise. David Ajabo a little nicked up, Adafi Elway a little nicked up. Keep an eye on the injuries, but if this team is healthy, I like their chances to win these next couple of games here. Pittsburgh, of course, has to play Kansas City, as you mentioned, on Christmas. I think that's a game that Mahomes plays in, because with Buffalo just a game back them, you know, they want to lock up that one seed. So I see Mahomes kind of going all the way through here until they do that. That's how I see it, guys.
Brian Wacker, appreciate it. Baltimore Sun, I read on the internet, you believe everything you read there. He's such a badass, Mahomes. He's going to play on crutches and throw left-handed. That's how confident Brian he is in his abilities this weekend. Brian, appreciate it. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas again to you and the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Wacker, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, whip around what happened in the world of sports last night. Well, quite frankly, not a ton, but some things to get into, and historically for sure. Then Scott Miller, MLB Network Radio, talk to him about the offseason so far. If he had to pick the American League East in order on December the 19th, who's in first, who's in last, and who's in between?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
88-80-1057 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your request to Nolan. Plaza Support text line at 410-583-1057. Since we're past 11 o'clock, get your votes in for featured artist Friday. How about a little college football last night? UNLV, ranked number 24, beats Cal 24-13 in the L.A. Bowl. And remember Dan Mullen, coach there at UNLV with the Rebels. The quarterback dipped out, said he wasn't getting enough NIL money, and they said, well, screw you, we're good.
Yeah. I'm guessing that kid, Bob, probably doesn't have any action in the portal.
Let's just put it this way. We don't remember his name. James Madison beats Western Kentucky in the Boca Raton Bowl 27-17. There is a bowl game coming up tonight, the New Orleans Bowl, brought to you by corporate sponsor R&L down at the Superdome, Georgia Southern against Sam Houston. Now, tomorrow night, things start to get real in regards to possible national championship ramifications. Well, you have Ohio, Jacksonville State, bowl game going on there, the Cure Bowl. Tulane, Florida, the Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa. But 8 o'clock, South Bend, Indiana. Indiana Hoosiers, 11-1, taking on the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, 11-1. Fighting Irish, 7-point favorites. We'll do our picks tomorrow, of course, but first ever 12-team playoff field, and everything starts to rock and roll tomorrow night on ABC, by the way.
And I showed you the jerseys, Bob. Gold. Not crazy about them.
Maybe the most historic, like Alabama, USC, Notre Dame, when it comes to uniforms, Penn State. There's been some tweaks here and there, but gold jersey? What?
You know what?
Like Rudy Rudiger is probably pissed off right now.
Yeah, Lou's probably pissed, too. Era's probably rolling over. I mean, we would never, you know, Lou never wanted to wear those green jerseys. I don't even know if we ever did wear the green ones. But, I mean, we were tradition. No names on the back of jerseys. I like that still. No names on the back of the jerseys. But gold, eh. Bob, you should see what Notre Dame's wearing for the hockey classic when we play the outdoor game. They're wearing light blue.
Like Carolina blue or sky blue or
Cubs, like the Cubbies.
No.
Yeah, at Wrigley
Field.
Not
your color.
Yeah.
Stick to tradition. By the way, the green jerseys got broken out 77 Devine against USC. Yeah. The win that helped propel them eventually to the national championship. College basketball last night in the Big Ten, number 14, Oklahoma. Beats Michigan 87-86, stuns them, as a matter of fact. Oklahoma scores on a four-point play with about 15 seconds left. They're down three, 86-83. The kid drills it, gets fouled, makes it. Michigan misses, obviously. A couple of opportunities to get it done. Oklahoma 12-0, the Sooners, on this young season in the Big Ten as well. USC, speaking of them, I keep reminding myself they're in the Big Ten. USC 90-69 over Cal State Northridge. Get it together, Cal State Northridge and Washington. Well, Maryland's going to be going next week. 89-73 over Washington State. No longer conference rivals. Washington State's just kind of out there floating around.
Yeah.
Blowing in the wind.
Them and Oregon State.
Yeah.
They have their own.
Locally, Georgia Tech beat UMBC 91-82. Terps back on the hardwood in Brooklyn Saturday, taking on Syracuse. Maryland 9-2, looking to add another fancy name at least to the resume. Syracuse sitting at a mediocre by definition 5-5. NBA starts again tonight after a night off. Wizards host the Hornets. Washington 3-21 on the year. Hornets are like the 86 Celtics at 7-19. 7 o'clock tip off in that one. We talked about this with Kai and with Ray. Undisputed heavyweight championship Saturday, Saudi Arabia. Alexander Usyk, 22-0, 14 knockouts. Took the titles from Tyson Fury in May, 34-1-1, 24 KOs. That's coming up. If you have streaming, it's DAZN, pay per view. Yeah, you're not turning on Wild World of Sports to watch boxing anymore.
Nope.
Heavyweight champs used to be household names. Unless you're like a diehard, like I am. Like, who's that?
What, it used to be, what, 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, Bob?
5,
every Saturday?
Yeah, then the Friday night fights on ABC, sometimes Mondays, whatever. But if you follow boxing, this is a big event, and that's happening on Saturday. It's 88-80-105-7 The Fan. It is the whip around on this Total Request Thursday. How about a little Maryland basketball fun for you? 1979 at Cole Fieldhouse. Terps beat Georgia Tech 70-60. Baltimore's own Ernie Graham, friend. 21 points, Albert King, friend. He had 18, Greg Manning, whose son's on the staff for Kevin Willard. He had 17, Terps beat Georgia Tech. That was Georgia Tech's first year in the ACC.
Hmm.
1998, Civic Center, or First Mariner Arena, whatever the hell it was called back in 1998. Fifth-ranked Maryland blows out Princeton. Maryland lost to Kentucky their previous game down at Rupp on national TV. If Maryland would have won, they would have been the number one ranked team in the country. Maryland has never been ranked number one in men's college basketball, ever. They won a national championship, never been ranked number one. The women have. But Terps this day took it out on Princeton. Laurent Prophet, friend, 21. Juan Dixon, friend. Steve Francis, never spoke to him. He had 12. 2010, M&T Bank Stadium, battle of playoff-bound teams. Ravens beat the Saints 30-24. This was Drew Brees Saints. Jimmy Graham had two TDs. Mm-hmm. Ravens couldn't stop tight ends back in those days either. Joe Flacco, two touchdowns, one to Ed Dixon, one to Ray Rice. Ray Rice also rushed for a TD, a part of his 153-yard day. Billy Cundiff, Nolan, kicked three field goals on his way to the Pro Bowl as the Ravens win 30-24, 14 years ago today at M&T Bank Stadium. Probably your favorite team, wasn't it? The 2010 Ravens?
2010?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Good. Well, that's the team that lost to Pittsburgh in the division
right.
round.
That's all I remember. All I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, blew two. Well, no, two 14-point leads was a couple years later against New England. But they blew a 10-point halftime lead. And Antonio Brown became someone we knew because he caught the ball on the side of his helmet on 3rd and 18.
Hell of a catch.
And then TJ Husmanzada dropped the pass on 4th down. Oh, my God. Are we going to revisit these? Oh, that's right. Let's go back to why we hate the Steelers. We'll do that later. But coming up next, talk some baseball. I mean, do people hate Mike Elias? I would hope not. Because apparently he's not doing enough to make the Orioles the super terrific kings of the offseason. Which, by the way, we haven't even Christmas yet. Let's pump the brakes. Then again, Scott Miller might say you're right in your angst if you're going that way. But Scott Miller, MLB Network Radio, coming up next. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. News from the Nest. Top of the hour. Going to hear from the coordinators ahead of the Steelers matchup. Where's the money? 12:15. We'll count it with buy or sell. Then Vinny's going to break down the Steelers on film defensively. TJ Watt practiced. What does that mean? Scott Miller. Scott, first of all, good morning and happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and the family.
You as well, Bob and Vinny. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Hope you got all your Christmas shopping done and you have no stress.
Come on, stress. Come on. Not traveling, getting stuck in traffic, yeah. Going through tunnels. Nah, it's all good. But anyway, Cold as Ice was that song coming out from the break there from Farner, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. A lot of people would say what the Orioles have done so far is ice cold in regards to moving the needle nationally and certainly within the American League East. How would you judge Mike Elias and what his crew has done as we're, December the 19th here?
Yeah, well, I would say, Cold as Ice, great song off the Double Vision album.
Correct.
I would add, I believe it's on that album, although it might have been on their debut album now that I think of it, but another song that would fit so far is probably Blue Morning, Blue Day, another wonderful Foreigner song. the Orioles are trying. Gary Sanchez, big thing with him is you can say he's got a lot of experience in the American League East. He knows the teams. He knows the ballparks. That's important for a catcher. Hopefully he's tightened up his defense because that was always the thing with him. Sagano signing him from Japan. That's an interesting move. I think that's going to be helpful. He won their version of the most valuable player last year. I'm going over stuff. I probably won't tell you guys. You guys know. I'm sure you talked about it, but I think he's won their version of the Cy Young Award twice. He's got upside. He's 35, so he doesn't have upside for too much longer. But, you know, on a one-year deal, I think he will help. What I like, you know, as you guys know, he doesn't throw an overpowering fastball. I think he tops out around 92. But he's 30. I think at 35, he's pretty mature and he's pretty smart. And I think he'll figure out a way, and clearly he has in Japan, to overcome his lack of blazing speed on the fastball with, you know, placing the pitches where he needs to pitch them and outsmarting hitters. And, you know, he helped Japan, Team Japan, win the 2023 World Baseball Classic. And, you know, he pitched six really good innings against Team USA. So he's had some success on the big stage. But I really like that signing on a one-year deal. Now, is he Corbin Burns? No. And that, you know, that's still the, obviously the lingering issue is, you know, are they going to be able to entice him back? Or are they going to need to replace Burns? But, you know, obviously the playoffs haven't gone well the last couple of years. And Baltimore's in its, we need, you know, they need to win now window. I mean, otherwise, why have you been waiting for these young kids to come along? So, you know, no, I think Elias will do something major, you know, in the next few weeks. Certainly the pressure is on him to do it.
Scott Miller joining us, talking Major League Baseball, Orioles, and the rest of Major Leagues, waiting for the offseason to conclude. Still plenty of time before pitchers and catchers happening in mid-February. But if we look at the Orioles lineup compared to the rest in the AL East, minus Juan Soto, the Yankees, I don't think it's unfair to say the Yankees have better pitching than not only Baltimore, maybe every team in the American League. But can the Orioles still match run for run? Any team, because the Orioles had the best offense in baseball for 2.5 months till injuries and inconsistencies started to step in. O'Neill essentially replaces Santander. So offensively, are the Orioles still capable of making life miserable, at least during the regular season, because they don't score during the postseason?
I think so. I think, you know, a couple of things. As you said, the second half of the season, you know, for various reasons, they went south. I would think that won't happen again for a couple of reasons. And that is, all these young guys are a year older. They've got a little more experience. Hopefully, they've learned some things on navigating a complete 162-game season. That's always a big challenge because, you know, until you get there and do that, you know, I don't care if you played in college, minor leagues, you know, you haven't gone through a 162-game season, you know, till you get there and do it. And from that perspective, I think the another year of experience, I think these young guys are going to be fine. I think they'll bounce back and hopefully stay healthy. That's always the big key, as you mentioned. A couple of injuries in the second half last year didn't help them either. But, you know, as far as the Yankees, you're right about that. I mean, that's why they got the World Series, with that pitching. It certainly wasn't because of their fundamentals and defense. And they're really good. And to your other point, you know, that's going to be the team to beat, I think, clearly, even having lost Juan Soto. I mean, I like what they've done with, you know, acquiring Devin Williams from Milwaukee to be their closer. You know, Cody Bellinger isn't Juan Soto. But the left-handed bat in Yankee Stadium, you guys know that drill, the short porch. I think Bellinger will be fine. So I think the Yankees are really good. Orioles are going to have their work cut out for them again, no doubt. And beyond that, you're right. The Orioles don't score against October pitching. A lot of teams don't because – You ain't facing the Chicago White Sox staff anymore in October, and you're facing the best of the best. And that's another thing where, you know, the young Orioles hitters, they've got a little bit more experience, not just over 162 games, but in the playoffs too. And granted, it's not good experience in the playoffs because they failed pretty badly 2 years in a row, but they've still gone through it. Hopefully – one of these years, hopefully this year, it clicks in a little bit more to the hitters about how to handle October, the month, the head games, the mental game, facing good pitchers, all of it.
Scott Miller, MLB Network Radio. Scott, appreciate the time as always. Again, Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you and the family, and we'll talk to you in 2025.
Look forward to it. I'll leave you real quick with this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going tonight into the San Diego area. It's a very small, informal celebration of life with some of the baseball people that live in town. For Merv Rettman.
Oh.
Merv was a great, great, great man. I always enjoyed dealing with him. And we're going to go and have a big toast to him this evening. So I wanted to mention that to you because Merv did some pretty special things in Baltimore around 1970, as I recall.
He had a home run in the World Series against the Reds and was traded for our friend Ross Grimsley to the Cincinnati Reds. Back in 1973. Great point. Scott Miller, appreciate it. And send our best from Baltimore to Merv and his friends and family, please.
Absolutely. We'll do. Thank you, Bob. Yeah. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Scott. Is. Scott Miller, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Old number 14, Merv Rettman, passed away a couple of weeks ago. We'll come back, visit with Nolan McGraw and his funhouse. News from the Nets. Get back to the Ravens and Steelers. Buy or sell. Where's the late week money? You want to get into why you hate Pittsburgh? Hey, if you're a Steeler fan residing in Baltimore, why? Why? I just want to know. What? Why? We can get into all of that next hour. Got by ourselves and his film breakdown of the Pittsburgh defense. We talked about Bill Vinovich and his propensity to throw flags, especially pass interference. Pittsburgh's got a guy that's prone to that sort of infraction.
Joey Porter Jr., he's had 11. He had 6 in one game against the Bengals.
So we'll keep an eye on that for sure. But let's get out to the phones. Joe in Woodbury. Joe, what's up?
Hey, Bob, I told Quick Draw I knew you'd be probably feeling that Boss Gags, man.
Yeah, man. I like Boss Gags.
Yeah. And I heard all y'all this morning talking about, when that plane crashed into the stadium. But not only did the Colts always lose to Pittsburgh, I couldn't hate the Raiders, but we always lost to Kenny Stabler and them in the playoffs also.
Yeah, I was cool. I was cool with Oakland. And Kenny Stabler next to Burt Jones was my favorite football player back
then. Me
too,
Bob. But I was trying to ask Quick Draw the name of the linebacker that played here for, a minute and then went to Pittsburgh. What was that 280-pound linebacker they had? Was his last name Harrison?
James Harrison.
Yeah. And I think that's when the rivalry actually really kicked off. With later on, because what was that round? 2007 when he was here, or 6? And then
I think it was earlier than that. He might have been around with Billick.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He was around with Billick. Well, Harbaugh didn't get here to 2008, so I'm saying he was here with Billick. But then when he got with the Steelers, then when Harbaugh got here, it just started a new rivalry. Cause like you said, he had old Hines Ward and Polamalu, but Harrison was the one who really instigated to me a lot of that stuff going on. And
he was on the Ravens practice squad in 2004.
Wow,
James Harrison. And I don't know if he ever even made the team because I never saw him on the field. Maybe that's why when he went to the Steelers, he said, "I'll get back at them for not picking me or keeping me." But because if you think about this, it was a carousel of quarterbacks also. That the Steelers was going through. Think about how many quarterbacks they were going through at the time before they got Big Ben, And I think we got him a couple of their rejects. And, Bob, one other thing I'm going to know, but Chuck Bucks, he got enough money to give me some because I keep getting calls saying, "Hey, man, we ain't heard you on the fan today. You calling in? You calling in?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm going to call in this week."
Well, Chuck Bucks, we'll see. Let's just say to be determined.
Yeah.
I might get you another couple of K's of listeners once they know I'm calling in, Bob. But that's all I called to say, Bob.
All right,
take it easy, bro.
All right, here's Joe Woodbury. What was it? Touchdown Tommy Maddox was the dude before Roethlisberger. That's the same game, by the way, where, Ray, if you're listening, where Porter pushed Heap, that Tommy Maddox got hurt, and Ben Roethlisberger came in. Boy, there are a lot of things happen on that particular Sunday at M&T Bank Stadium.
We played them one time, Bob, in one of those Europe preseason games. We played the Steelers in that fights galore, and then we had to open the season with them. And I remember we played at Pittsburgh. Ricky Waters got kicked out, like, in the second quarter. He was in their shower. Eddie DeBartolo walked in and ripped him a new up and down because he did. You could not lose to the Steelers because he's from Youngstown.
All right, let's go to Jason in East Baltimore. Jason, what's up?
Uncle Bob, Uncle Vinny, good to hear you guys.
How you doing, dude?
Hey, man. We're going to be ready. The Ravens going to beat the Steelers this weekend. Mm. Lamar going to play great. I think the receiver's ready. The Steelers going to try to muddy the game up, you know, try to make it a fight. But I think we're going to be ready. I seen Todd Monken leaning into those receivers. Did you see the video of that? He was cussing them guys out, telling them to hold on to the damn ball, and they going to try to strip it. Did you see it, Vinny?
I did not. What was it on?
It's all over the internet. You can probably go to the Ravens page or something
okay.
like that.
Okay, I'll look it up.
He's telling them, hold on to the ball. We lost these games because of turnovers. They're going to take the ball from y'all. He was cussing. It's so bad they muted it. So you can't hear the audio. But I like the fire Todd Monken got. But let's talk about these Steelers fans for a minute, man. It's almost like a current of flaw because most of them not humble at all, man. I mean, they were more humble when they was actually winning Super Bowls. They ain't won diddly squat lately, and they just, like, looking for an argument. I was in Giants the other day, probably before the last game. It was, like, the day of or the same day of the last Steelers-Ravens game. And it was an older lady, like, had to be in her 70s. She had a Steelers jacket on, and people was walking by with their Ravens stuff because it was game day. And, every time somebody walked past, she was saying out loud, the Ravens suck. This secondary sucks. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I'm like, man, lady, please. Like, who want to sit here and argue with you inside Giants over Ravens Steelers? But that's just the temperament. I don't know, man. Are they envious because we've been having more success than them lately? And we actually had a better product to actually watch than they had of late. I don't know what it is, man, but. Like I said, they were more humble when they was winning stuff than right now. But we got them this weekend. Go Ravens, and you guys got to check out that footage because Todd Monken got them boys ready.
All right. Hey, Jason, thanks for the call. And if we don't talk to you, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and the family.
Same to you.
Whose fans are worse, Bob, Eagles or Steelers?
Well, based on my experiences being at Eagles games, granted, it was the old vet. They right. were like, oh, man, I couldn't wait to get out of there. And right. I didn't even have I was just there to watch a football game as a fan. But, yeah, Steelers fans, let's just say they're off-putting. They're right there with Yankees and Red Sox and all of those people. Those people. We have time for another call. You want to wait? Let's go out to Towson and get PT. PT, what's up?
Hey, guys. I was raised to hate Penn State football, Duke, North Carolina, and Georgetown basketball, and, of course, the Steelers.
Correct.
Right. Well, the old man had that right. There's no doubt about that. But I got a question for you, Vinny. 7 of the last 8 opponents of the Eagles, the following week, they struggled. They lost 7 of the last 8 with the Eagles. So it's a huge advantage for the Ravens because Pittsburgh played the physical game against the Eagles. Vinny, do you find that to be the case, that the week prior has a significant impact on the next game?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about that for the Ravens and the Steelers for Wednesday game because it's a really short week, you know, for a real physical game. I mean, look at Pittsburgh. I mean, you've got back-to-back physical games and then got to play on Wednesday. So that's tough because Philly's lines, they're physical as hell. They're big, physical, and talented.
Absolutely. So it's all lining up for the Ravens this week. I mean, they got to bring home the victory, right?
If Lamar plays like Lamar, yes, they're going to win, and it may be enjoyable win early, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I think the spread is so large and the history of the game is so tight, but still, it does line up as far as I'm looking at. It. Like, geez, the Ravens are going to win by 10, right?
The only thing is Bill Vinovich, his stats.
Yeah, the referee. But you know, PT talking about team that played Philly the next week losing. You know, we're coming up on the top. Didn't have time to get into it because the Ravens played Philly. next, they had a bye.
Yeah.
And then they came out. So I'm guessing they might have been part of it. I'm not really sure. But first place on the line, Steelers win. They clinch divisions. They get T-shirts and hats at M&T Bank Stadium. Ravens win. They clinch a playoff spot. And in my opinion, Vinny agrees, and I'm guessing Nolan does too, since we've talked about it. I think the Ravens win the division because they're going to have a better record than Pittsburgh at the end of 17 games.